Hey, Bob, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. We sure do appreciate the Lord. In verse number 1 said, but of the times and the season, brethren, you have no need, I write unto you. For yourselves know perfect that they of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. Ye and all the children of light, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the dark, or night, or darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with Him. Verse 16, He said, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to preach just a little while. We've got to be my help on hope, a happy melody. Amen? A hope, a happy melody. Now, he's talking about watching and being vigilant, paying attention to what's going on that we might redeem the time. In Luke chapter 12, verse 40, he says, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. In other words, when we're not thinking about it, when we're not expecting it, that's when they're going to come. I was talking to him about this morning, they was looking out the window and looking at the cemetery, and I didn't know what this, looking at my little granddaughter starts, she said, Mama, Mama, and she's pointing, and then everybody was looking at the cemetery, and I thought, well, this is it. The rapture's taking place. The dead in Christ rise first. The graves are emptying out, and everybody's seeing it, praise God. And then, you know, those alive and remain be caught up with them. I thought it's happening today. But it wasn't. It was just a bunch of turkeys. Turkeys looking at turkeys. But glory be to God. Amen. One day it's going to happen. It's going to be for real. And we can expect it. And what he's telling us here, he said, while we're waiting upon the Lord, praise God, just to be vigilant, expecting something to take place. And he's telling them here that we don't have to be concerned about the times and the seasons because that's in God's hands. Amen. He takes care of that. He said as long as there was a praise God, they'd be a winter and fall and spring and summer, praise the Lord, that they'd be that those things would be, and nobody's going to change that because God is in control. But he would tell us in verse 1-2 that we need to be in a constant preparedness, looking for something. We should be expecting something, and that something could come at any minute. Amen. Come on. Amen. We should be expecting the Lord at any minute. He could come, say the shout and the trumpet, praise God, at any time, any minute, call us home to be with Him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we ought to have an expectancy, praise God, so that God can begin to do that righteous intervention that He's going to do. Amen. He said they, talking about those that's lost, that's undone, praise God, that need the Lord Jesus Christ. He said they're going to be caught by surprise. So they're going to be hollering. Verse number 3 said, they're going to be hollering peace and safety, and then sudden destruction is going to come upon them. Praise God, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Amen. So we need to be telling people, we need to be warning people that there's a day soon coming, and we need to be ready. We need to be expecting. We need to be looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's talking to the Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, and Timothy. He said, hey, look, we need to be vigilant because something's going to come. The Lord's coming, praise God, just like He said. And then out of the mouth of babes, I was talking to little David after service today, and me and him was out here on the porch, and I was talking to him, and he's a bright young man. He said, Pastor, there's something weird going on. There's something going to happen before too long. He said, I don't think it's going to be much longer. Amen. You're talking about out of the mouth of an 11-year-old young man. He said, I feel, said, he was saying about, talking about in his spirit. He said, I feel that something's going to take place before long. Amen. And we ought to be the same way as adults and people, parishioners. We ought to feel the same way in our soul, praise God, that something's going to take place before long. Amen. We ought to be exceedingly ready, watching, praise God, because there is something going to take place before long. Amen. Praise God. He's talking to us, but he said, but ye brother, he's talking about the believers, and it's the believers versus the unbelievers. There's a lot of people in the world, they don't believe that the Lord is coming back. They don't believe that there's going to be a resurrection. Don't believe that folks is going to get up. They don't believe that, praise God, the graves are going to give up the dead. A lot of people don't believe that, but God says that, praise God, and that's all I need to know. Amen. Praise God, I believe it with all my heart, don't you? Praise God, it ain't going to be long either. One of these days, praise God, these graves will burst open and the dead in Christ will rise first, and those that are alive and remain be called up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. We ought to rehearse that not in our minds, but in our hearts. Praise God, every minute of every day, thinking upon the good things of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, and then he speaks down here in verse number 5 of this darkness. She said, you are the children of light and the children of day. So we are not of the night nor of the darkness. He said, there's some folks that's caught in the dark. Amen. They're not seeing, they're not believing, they're not interpreting, they're not expecting anything to take place. They think, well, the world's went on like it has for all these years, and it's going to continue to go on just the same way. I got news for you. It's not going to take place the same way forever. One of these days, in a little while, there's going to be some mighty changes take place in this world. The unbelievers are caught up in darkness. Now, this is more than just ignorance of the things of God. The unbelievers are caught up, praise God, in a moral and spiritual separation from God. They deny and reject God. They don't want God, and they don't have God. Praise God. He said that's the difference Paul's talking about between the ye's and the they's. The ye's are those believers that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The they's are those ones that are unbelievers. They're spiritually alienated from God. Amen. I don't want to ever be spiritually alienated from God. Amen. Praise God. I want to stay close to Him because I want Him to stay close to me. Amen. So He said they's some that's caught in the dark, hung up in darkness. And He said they's some of them that's asleep. Look at verse number 6. He said, therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Bless watch and be sober. So he said, hey, listen, so they some that's asleep. In other words, they're morally and spiritually asleep. Amen. That's what's wrong with America today. That's what's wrong with the world today. There's a whole lot of people that's morally and spiritually asleep. And they're in darkness, praise God, and they went to sleep, and morally and spiritually, things is just, presuming everything's going to be okay, but it's not going to be okay. Man, we need a touch of God in our lives. We need a touch of God in our mannerisms and the way we live, and we need a spirituality about us. Amen? The Spirit of God needs to be real in our lives. It minister to us, minister through us, praise God, so we can have that right relationship with the Lord. If we got that, then we be expecting, praise God, till He comes. Amen. After all, the Bible says, even here it says watch. Amen. That was the Lord's command. Ain't that what He told disciples? He went off to pray and He said, hey, watch. You need to be watching. Amen. In other words, He was telling us, you need to start watching now and you need to keep watching. Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't know what God's plan is, but we know what God's plan says. Amen. He said we can't line out the day, the minute, and the hour, but we can know, praise God, that it's going to come to pass because God says so. Praise the Lord, Brother Charles. We just need to get in and be partakers in it. Expect until He comes. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says that we need to be watching, but He also says in verse number 8 that we need to be sober. Amen. That don't mean we need to be a bunch of drunks or not be a bunch of drunks. That's a given. Hello? As Phil said one time, I knew before I ever got saved that drinking liquor was wrong. I know anything that I do that would alter my mind and keep me from being able to think clearly about the Lord was wrong. I've told you before, people say, well, preacher, I don't think there's anything wrong with smoking pot and taking those drugs like that because it's a herb that grows in the earth. But I had to inform them that this earth is under a curse. And these cursed things in here. And the Lord says that we're supposed to watch and we're supposed to be sober. That means that's supposed to be the believer's habit. Our habit, praise God, ought to be drunkards and wine dibbers, but our habit ought to be sober, looking for the Lord with a, well, glory, with a sober expectation that any minute, praise God, we can part out of here and go home to be with Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Preacher said, somebody asked me a while back, said, preacher, ain't you afraid of dying? Amen. The hardest thing I have to do is living. Amen. Praise the Lord. The hardest thing I have to do is living. I don't worry about dying, praise God. We all got an appointment with death. It's coming, whether ready or not. Here it comes. But praise God, we've got a blessed hope in Lord Jesus Christ. And when it's all said and done here, He said, praise God, those that are sober, those that have a habit of being sober and looking for the Lord, one day, glory to God, He's going to point His finger at us and say, come up hither, my beloved, come away. And we're going to go out of here to be with the Lord. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, amen, we'll not all die, but we'll all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, bless His holy name. And so Paul says here to the Thessalonians in chapter number 5, 1 Thessalonians, that we have a hope as believers. Amen. The hope of salvation that we should be eagerly anticipating, an eager expectation, praise God, of being rescued from the wrath of God. From the wrath to come, praise God, upon the world. That's what He tells us in verse number 9. He said, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God, I'm not going to have to go through wrath. I'm not going to have to go to death. But praise God, one of these days in a little while, we're going to slip out of here and go home to be with Him. And so shall we ever be with Him to never be parted again. It broke the disciples' heart when Jesus says, I got to go away. He said, it's expedient for you that I go away. And boy, it just shattered them. It broke their hearts. They then walked 33 and a half years with this man called Jesus. They'd fell in love with this man called Jesus. That He had done stole their hearts. He had done stole their lives. He had done put encouragement in them. He had done put hope in them that nobody else could distill in their lives. I praise God, it was better than a bank. It was better than anything the world had. What Jesus gave to them fellas, I praise God, He filled them full to overflowing with the goodness of God. Amen. Praise God. Poor old Philip, he said, Lord, we haven't seen Father. How can we know? He said, if you've seen me, he said, you've seen the Father. Amen. He said, just put your faith and trust in me because you've seen me. You've seen the Father. Glory to God. The opportunity that we have to know Him in the free part of sin, the salvation of the Lord, speaking to our heart, manifesting Himself to us. He said, not received the wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. I like it personally, our Lord. Amen. I'm glad today, Brother Bobby, I can say He's my Lord. He's our Lord. All of us that's born again believers, He's ours. Amen. Yeah, it's personal. Praise God. Ain't you glad that? Amen. Praise God. And nobody can take Him away from you. He's yours and you're His. Amen. It's sealed up, it's signed up, it's wrote down, it's pinned down. Praise God. Because God Almighty said it. Praise the Lord. Verse number 10, He's talking about death and life. Well, He just mentioned, He said, who died for us? Who was that? That was the Lord Jesus Christ. Who died for us? That whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Amen. That's the basis of our hope today. Praise God. Whether He said that death and life, that's talking about that wake and sleep, that's death and life. Amen. Whether we be dead or whether we be alive. those that died in Christ, and we buried them in the cemeteries all across this country. Praise God. That body's asleep in the dirt, but the spirit and the soul go back to God who give it. Praise God. Ecclesiastes 12:7. The spirit of God has gone out of here. It's gone out of them. It's in the presence of God somehow in some fashion. I can't explain all that to you, but I know it is because God said, the Lord said that when he comes back, when he comes to call out all the saints of God, when he calls out his family unto him, he's going to do a trump and a shout. And those that are dead are asleep in the Lord Jesus Christ will God bring with him. Amen. Praise God. We'll get to see these folks again. Mamas and daddies, mamas and papas, brothers and sisters be reunited for the glory of the Lord in the presence of our Savior. Won't that be something? He said, so we should live together with him, all of us. That's our hope that we have one day gathered together in a place of no more. A place where there's no more sorrow, there's no more sickness or sadness or death or dying. No more separation. Boy, hope, the hope that we have. What a melody that ought to bring to our hearts. Ought to give us a new song to sing for the glory of God. And then Paul would go on in verse 16, he would say this. Because of the excitement, because of what's happening. Amen. Regardless of the circumstances. He said, rejoice evermore. Now, you know what that means? That means just start rejoicing and just keep on rejoicing. Amen. We've got that blessed hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got His promises that He's made to us. And He said we ought to just start rejoicing over that, the hope that we have. And we sort of just keep rejoicing because the hope that we have, no matter what circumstances come our way, just keep praising the Lord. Have you ever noticed if you really start praising the Lord, it kind of makes the devil mad? Hey, I'll just be honest. You get to praise the Lord and it'll make your flesh mad. Amen? Your flesh will rise up and say, well, what do people think of you acting that way? Amen? Kind of acting peculiar. That's what God said we ought to act. He said church ought to act peculiar. Amen? We've got a peculiar Savior, praise God. He said we ought to be rejoicing evermore. Amen? And not just a little, but more and more, praise God. Regardless of what's taking place around us, regardless of the hardship or the sadness or the dismay, praise God, just keep rejoicing in the Lord. Keep praising God because it'll all be worth it one day. Paul's saying, don't get discouraged, praise God. Just keep praising the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoicing because of the blessed hope that we have. Amen. And then he says in verse 17, he said, pray without ceasing. Amen. So he says, start rejoicing, Brother Charles, and just keep rejoicing. Don't let nobody take your rejoicing away. And said, then, praise God, just pray and just keep praying. Don't let nobody stop you from praying, praise God. Don't cease, don't quit praying, just keep praying. Hey, David, just having a conversation with the Lord. Ask your question tonight. Do we really understand what prayer is? Amen. Prayer is talking to God. Amen. It's having a conversation with the Lord. It's speaking to Him, letting know we love Him and we appreciate Him and asking Him for bringing our petitions before Him, our supplications, asking Him to help us, expecting that, knowing that He hears us. So He said, there, sir, we should rejoice continually. He said, we should be praying without ceasing. Just pray and just keep praying. He said, well, preacher, I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed. It just seems like God's not listening. Amen. Paul said, hey, look, he said, just keep praying. Amen. He said, when it seems like God's not, just keep praying. The faithful, earnest prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. Just keep praying. How do you know about it? How can a man be a righteous man when he's right with God and he's persistent because he knows who God is? And we just keep talking to God. We keep bringing it to God. We keep giving it to God. We keep asking of God. And God hears, praise God, so that He can answer our prayers. Paul said, hey, listen, don't ever quit rejoicing. He said, don't ever quit praying. He said, just keep praying and keep praying, never quit praying. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he said, while you're praying, he says, in everything give thanks. Amen. Verse 18. He said, in everything give thanks. Everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything we do, we ought to be thankful to God. For everything He does for us, we ought to be thankful to God. For everything He doesn't do, we ought to be thankful to God. Amen. Hey, thanks. A lot of times He ought to just take His belt off, praise God, like a good daddy, and just wire us out. Amen. Oh, me. He ought to just wire us out, praise God. Thank God that He didn't. Amen. He's had to give us some whippings. He's had to strap our legs a time or two to get our attention. But praise God, He said, hey, even in that, we should be thankful to Him. We should be lifting Him up and praising Him, because He didn't let us go down that old sick and perverted road. Jesus, when we wanted to haw, praise God, and brought us back in the line. Amen. Glory to God. He said, we ought to be rejoicing. We ought to be praying without magnifying without ceasing. He said, we ought to be giving thanks, praise God, unto the Lord, praising Him for all He does for us. Amen. God's been so good to us, young'uns. God is so good to us. Every day, praise God, He's there and He's helping us. He's encouraging us. Man, we could be down there in disarray, laying in a gutter somewhere without any hope. But I'm glad God come along where we were, praise God, and brought us up out of that, put our feet upon a foundation, praise, and point us to glory, and told us that He was there with us. March on, soldier. March on, glory to God. We'll make it on one day. Glory to God. And He said that. Then he would say in verse 19, He said, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Amen. In other words, what He's saying here, He said, stop quenching the Spirit. Amen. He said, stop quenching the Spirit. Praise God. When God moves upon your heart, when God just touches you, when God just stirring you, praise, hey, don't quench the Spirit. Stop quenching the Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. Just throw up a hand and wave at the glory. Amen. Say a few words of encouragement. Brag on Jesus. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Take time, fall on your face, and no matter who's looking, and pray for an individual that God puts on your heart. Hello? Amen. It might be me. Amen. I might need it. I probably do. But God put it on your heart. Praise God. Do it. Don't quench the Spirit. That's quenching the Spirit, just like He said, stop quenching the Spirit. Be mindful of the Lord. You're mowing the yard. Amen. Everybody mows the yard like this. Now used to you done it like this. Now everybody does it like this. And then you use this around the edges. You be out there mowing the yard. The Holy Ghost of God speaks to your heart. Amen. Maybe He wants you to pray. Maybe He just wants you to call somebody. Hello? Praise God, just stop what you're doing. Shut her off. Get out your phone. Get down on your knee. Just talk to the Lord. Talk to that person. Encourage them. Lift them up. Praise God. Let them know that somebody cares. Paul says, no matter what you do, he said, keep giving the Lord thanks. And he said, stop quenching the Spirit. Be mindful of the Spirit. Praise God. Pay attention to what God's trying to do. What God's trying to do for you. Amen. Glory to God. Bless His holy heart. His Holy Spirit that speaks to our hearts. Amen. Then he would go on in verse number 22, and verse number 21. He said, prove all things. Amen? He said, prove it. All the things that you hear, all the things that's said. Hello? He said, prove them. Amen? Devil brings it up. Say, prove it, devil. Amen? So I got my word here. Amen? You want me to believe that? You prove it. You show me. Or what thus says the word of God, and I'll believe it. He said, if God don't say it, I ain't going to believe it. I'm going to trust God because I know God's got our best intentions, praise God, in mind. He wants to help us, praise God. So He said we need to prove all things. Try them out. Put them to the test to see, praise God, whether they're true or not. whether they're good or not. Amen. And he said, well, hold fast. He put them to the test. He said, hold fast that which is good. Amen. That's genuine. That's not counterfeit. That's what he's talking about. He said, those things that are genuine. Amen. That's real. Praise God. He said, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Those things that's real and true. Those things that's faithful like he is. Amen. Ain't you glad God's faithful to you? Don't you wish you could just be as faithful to him as he is to you? God help us, young'uns. If we could be just as faithful to him as he is to us. You say, well, preacher, I am. No, you're not. No, we're not. Amen. He's faithful to you 24/7. Amen. 24/7, God is faithful to you. I can't be faithful to him 24/7 because part of it, I ain't even in this world. I'm in la-la land. Amen. Praise God. But he's still faithful to you. He's still right there with you. He's still giving you your breath. He's still giving you your life. Praise God. He's still watching over you even while you sleep. Glory to God. Praise God. And he says, hey, listen. He said, quench not the spirit. Amen. He said, prove all things. Hey, praise God. He said, how do you do that? You look at the Word of God. He would say in verse 20, he said, despise not prophesyings. Amen. He said, despise not prophesying. He said, in other words, look for that that's preached. Look for that that's told. That's the truth. He said, when you get the truth, praise God, he said, then you can prove things. Then you can hold fast that's good, that's true, that's not counterfeit. Amen. Somebody saying something that they come off the cuff with by taking something, a verse out of context and say it so that it makes them look big, like they've learned some new thing. Hey, there's nothing new under the sun. Old Solomon figured that out. Praise God. But he said, hold fast, that's good. Put it to the test to see. Amen. Then verse number 8, look what he says. Then verse number 22. He says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain, that means to stay away from. Amen. That's to run from it, to get away from it, to don't partake in it. This evil stuff, he said, even from the appearance of evil. If it might even look evil, if it might even make you look bad, if it might even make your Savior look bad, might make a church look bad, he said, flee from it, get away from it. Amen. He said, don't that allow that to come into your life. Don't entertain the thoughts that might come with it. Don't participate in it. But he said, abstain from all appearance of evil. Amen. Not even the evil itself, but the very appearance of evil. Amen. Somebody told me a while back, said, preacher, well, I don't think it's wrong to, they're trying to justify. I said, I don't think it's wrong to drink a beer every now and then. Amen. Yeah, somebody told me one time, doctor told me one time, said, if you drink a couple of beers a week, it'll keep your kidneys flushed out and you won't have no more kidney stones. Let me tell you something, I can do the same thing with cranberry juice. Amen. Hello, come on. Amen, praise God. Listen, we want to use an excuse to entertain evil. But if I'm sitting there and I got a beer in my hand and somebody comes along that's lost without God, how am I going to tell them tomorrow that it's wrong to be a drunkard? Amen. We got to stand upon principles, praise God. We got to abstain from the very appearance of evil. It's all around us today. Amen. But let me just tell you what the appearance of evil is. Now think about this. The appearance of evil is how God sees things. Come on. That broadens the gap a little bit, don't it? It's not how you and I see it, how you and I can conceive it, but it's how, or perceive it, but it's how God Almighty sees it. That's what makes a difference. It's the appearance of how God looks down on it and what He sees in our life. He said, abstain from all appearance of evil. That wickedness that's in the world. That so easily besets you and I. Amen? Praise the Lord. But he says to abstain from it. And then he offers up this prayer in verse 23. He said, and the very God of peace. Listen to this prayer Paul prays here for Thessalonians. In one verse here, he puts it all together. He said, in the very God of peace, there's nobody can give peace like God can. There's nobody that offers His peace but Jesus. He said, in the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. Now the Bible says here, sanctify you wholly. Amen. Sanctified means to set you aside, to separate you for God's glory. Amen. So He said He's got the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body. Now that's speaking about the whole essence of who we are. Amen. God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We are body, soul, and spirit. And God said, Paul says here, he said, I pray God that He'll, God of peace will sanctify you, set you aside, separate you, praise God, your whole spirit and your soul. But notice He says your spirit and your soul, what's lies? The body. Because God's more concerned about your spirit and your soul than your body. Hello? Amen. That's why our bodies are so decrepit in this world, but God, before we get out of here, but praise God, that inner man, praise God, is what God revives and stirs and brings up and draws closer to Himself, because that's the most important part. Amen. That's the part of God that He gives us that makes us breathe, move and breathe and have our being, able to worship Him and give Him glory. And God sees that. He said, I pray that God, that your whole body, whole spirit, soul and body be preserved, blameless. Amen. Without fault, without blame. Amen. Preserved. God wants us preserved. That's why we don't need alcohol, because God's going to preserve us. We don't have to preserve ourselves. Somebody's talking about one of them country western singers the other day and said he's almost 100 years old and he's still going. I said, yeah, but he's an alcoholic. He's preserved. Amen. He's pickled. He'll last forever. Amen. But he said he preserved us. He preserved us blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ without any fault. Praise God. That's God. Hey, listen, I'm full of faults. I'm full of failures. I'm full of shortcomings. I'm so insufficient, praise, within myself. But like I said this morning, I'm serving Christ who's altogether lovely. He's sufficient for everything. And he ministers in her heart. I'm talking about hope tonight. A happy melody we can sing unto the Lord. Lifting up our voices, praise God, rejoicing and praising and giving God glory with thanksgiving. Thanking Him for all He's done. We do that when we don't quench the Spirit. But we're mindful of Spirit. When we don't despise prophesying, but we magnify the prophecies that we know. God lifts us up. And we prove these things by the Word of God, putting them to the test. And then we abstain from evil. Amen? We abstain from evil. The appearance of evil. And do that's pleasing in the eyes of God. So then he prays and he offers up his prayer to God that he had sanctified wholly. Holy unto Himself. Amen. Praying for your whole spirit, soul, and body. God be the glory. Amen. We get up in the morning. We can't do anything to fix an unperfect world. And we're not perfect in the world. But if we'll give ourselves to Him totally without any reserve, praise God, to Christ, to the Lord, He can make us holy. And we have that blessed hope in Him. And He'll give us that happy melody down to sing down in our souls. Glory to God. And in the morning when you get up and you think about today, are you ready? If you think about it, you get up or you say, am I ready? If the Lord comes today, am I ready? Amen. Did you think about that this morning? Very good. Hey, I know I'm ready. I look out the window every morning. I told you, I look out every morning. I look at that and say, glory to God, this could be it. This could be the day when Jesus comes again, praise God. Comes to get us, take us home to be with Him. Get us where He's at. Morning says He might come today. Are you ready? What if He comes not? Are you ready if He comes tonight? If He comes tonight, are you ready? We don't need to be ready to die. We need to be ready to live. We need to be ready when Christ comes to get us. When He calls us out of here, we need to be ready for that glorious day. That's what He's talking about. He said He's preparing us for something, a hope that's bigger than we are. A hope that's out of this world. A hope that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.